Hi, friends! Join us as we dive into the themes, metaphors, and foreshadowing of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We are your hosts, Leah,
Sarah,
Tabby,
and whether you're a new viewer or a longtime fan, welcome to Becoming Buffy. Hey, guys! Welcome to episode... Oh, sorry. Season 5, episode 11, Triangle Spoilers. It's just me here today. I'm just kidding. It's me and Tabby. Surprise! The together. Episode no one asked for. Everyone immediately logs off. Sarah, unfortunately, has laryngitis. Her lymph nodes are swollen like basketballs.
Do you want to tell the story why, Leah?
Oh, I'm going to tell the story.
We were cackling. So, I think yeah, I had literally tears peeping my pants. Days.
Because Sarah, as we know, has a little baby child. Well, she has two, but she has one that was sick and crying because he's sick and he was doing bad in Minecraft. So Sarah, being the amazing mother she was comforting him and holding his cheek next to her cheek, and he was crying. And then she accidentally crying onto her face. And then she accidentally breathed in one of his tears. And then she got laryngitis. Guys, it's not funny, but it's also like, I wish you guys could understand that something like that would literally only happen to Sarah. Also, she's in the chat with us. She's here.
She said, sorry, guys, my voice is gone because I snorted said, Sawyer's tears.
I snorted Sawyer's tear. No context. No story.
Just Leah responded with, huh?
I was like, what does that even mean? What do you mean you snorted his tear? Because what I was thinking about is those baby machines where you have to suck out the snot. And oh, I was like, do you have to do that for tears too? Like, I was thinking like maybe she accidentally like snorted in a booger. And then I was like, that's actually vile. My mind went so many places. So just, you know, that's what's happening on our side of the pond.
You have to know too, like, Sarah sent us so many notes just for the spoiler section.
Literally like a mile long of notes. I was like, Sarah's sick and yet she's still doing all the work for us. Like, she literally has laryngitis. She's like on her deathbed.
I still have yet to write down anything for this episode.
And then Sarah I didn't know the title. And Sarah's like full notes prepared. She's like, hey, just to let you guys know, we're still recording on Sunday. She's like drinking her tea. She can barely talk. And all the words she's using is to explain to the two idiots like the schedule. Oh, it's so bad. Oh, but anyways, we're here filling it in. Sarah's here in silence. She is here. I mean, me and Tabby can see her.
Just so you guys know, whenever I'm reading off what she's saying, I will be reading it verbatim. So if there are anything that sounds weird or robotic, I'm just reading it straight off of what she said.
We're going to get like members to unsubscribe after this episode. They're like, we're only here for Sarah. We don't learn a thing when Tabby and Leah are in the room.
This episode that Sarah is genuinely the only thing keeping this podcast
They're
together.
Like, wait, there's three people in this podcast? I thought it was just Sarah talking the whole time.
Well, honestly, most people think you and I are the same person, so they probably think it's just like two people.
Yeah. They definitely know who Sarah is.
Yeah. She gives off like mom energy. She's mature, grounds us.
Yep. And then we have Tweedledee and Tweedledum on the side.
I'm Tweedledee though.
I'll be Tweedledum. That's fine. Kind of guess. Anyways, getting into it. Episode 11, Triangle. Oh, this is a spoiler section.
I feel very unsupervised, like I'm home alone for the first time without my parents there.
Or like you first get a phone and you realize you can Google anything. You're like, oh my God, I have all the power in my hands.
I remember watching Netflix in my room for the first time, like on my phone, because
I used to hide watching Mean Girls.
Oh, I know, I remember.
And I would hide it like it was porn. Like, I was like, I literally, mom and dad would walk past and I would slam the computer down and everyone would be like, what are you watching? I was like, nothing. And then I would like change it to like Kim Possible. It was like, I was just watching Mean Girls.
We weren't even allowed to watch Kim Possible either way.
No, I think.
Because her belly button was showing.
Oh,
anyway.
True. I think, well, I changed it to a different show. I think it was Justice League. Justice League does slay, but you know. Anyways.
Okay, first bullet point. Why do I feel like I've never done this before? Okay. It feels weird without Sarah here.
Joss was reportedly very upset that the word god was left out of this episode in reference to Olaf being the troll god. In The Gift, Anya talks about the hammer as the hammer of God, and it's important because it's why it does such a damage on Glory. Also, it's supposed to be a bit of a reference to Thor and Mjolnir because the hammer is shown to be too heavy for Spike, but Buffy lifts it just fine, almost like she's worthy. Your turn. Dude, it's like that scene in Age of Ultron where they're all trying to pick it up. I'm guessing that that's what Sarah's referencing. I actually like that scene. That's like one of the good parts in Age of Ultron. I honestly wish, little bit of a tangent, I wish in Age of Ultron that they didn't have so many weird sexist things in it, because I actually loved Ultron as a villain and I loved Wanda and stuff. But like the weird, like, honestly, it's just Black Widow and Hulk that ruined that movie for me. Like, they just take up so much screen time, and I also just, I'm a Hulk hater. Sorry. Sorry. Kill me. I hate Hulk. Just trying to fill up the space till Tabby's ready to take the next void. I hated She-Hulk, too. I didn't watch the show. It's not because she's a woman. I just hate both Hulks. You want me to read the next one, Tabby?
I cannot keep it together. I have tears on my face.
Don't worry, I got it. Willow and Leah's Anya's like
pausing
teachers.
Without confidence in the word. What was it? Milliner, whatever.
It's Mjolnir. Is have you guys seen that episode with or that interview with Paul Rudd where he's like, "Oh, the hammer's name was Jonathan."
Oh yeah, he like knows all the lore.
Yeah,
everyone's like, "Okay, all right, Leah, take the next one."
No, I just took this one. You took this one.
Okay, I probably should have read
for you. I got you, don't worry. During Willow and Anya's argument while looking at her reversal spell, they both allude to future plot paths involving Anya returning to vengeance and Willow turning to evil. Oh, this is the spoiler section, I forgot about that. In both instances, it involves Xander as Anya turns evil again because of Xander, and Willow returns from being evil due to Xander. Huh? I don't understand that. Willow and Anya's futures.
Hold on, guys. I need a break.
I feel like I'm taking a test. I'm like,
just give me a minute so I can compose myself. Oh my God.
Anya went to vengeance because of Xander leaving her at the altar. Willow came back from Dark Willow because Xander brought her back from the brink.
Honestly, sometimes I also, feel like they just write storylines.
And She-Hulk was good the last two episodes. Okay.
I didn't watch it. I just don't like
Sarah's
Hulk.
Dying. Just watch the last two because it has Daredevil. It's so good.
Oh, true. That was the only time I was tempted to watch it, low-key. I will say, like, one thing that always I thought was interesting that I wish the show leaned into more was Anya and Willow's dynamic, because they both...
Or just more healthy version.
Well, yeah, of course. Not in like a toxic way, because I hate the way it's portrayed in this episode, but They just both have such a interest in mystical stuff. And I really feel like if the show hadn't been stupid and misogynistic, they would have actually gotten along. Their characters make a lot of sense. And I think they both really struggle with the same things. I mean, especially when we see in season 6, Willow really struggles with vengeance. Like, she goes and she seeks out all the people who killed Tara. And she is vengeful.
There's a reason Dahofrin wanted her as a vengeance demon.
Yeah, and so I really wish that they played into that more instead of... But I think you could also take it as a way of, like, there were parts of Anya that Willow saw in herself. And I think that's why maybe she didn't like her for a while.
But that's like, people like that.
I mean, it's like, stupid, but like.
Yeah. So basically this episode foreshadows both Anya and Willow again turning evil and falling back on their toxic vices.
Well, in this episode, she even mentions like, hey, like there's a reason that I have this issue with you. Like, you're closer to going evil than I am. She mentions that Dahofrin offered her old job. And I mean, we kind of mentioned that in the non-spoiler episode, but I feel like that's such a good point that Anya is pulling right here. And I feel like hers is coming from a little bit more logic in this argument than Willow is. Like, Willow is just kind of, it seems just all petty and jealousy because her attention, or I should say Xander's attention, isn't solely on Willow anymore.
Well, I also feel like this is one of those episodes, which is similar to a lot of the episodes with Riley, where when you have foresight, you're a lot more on Anya's side. Because you see what happens with Willow, and you see that Anya had every right to kind of call her out, question things. But up until this point, it seems uncalled for because Willow has always been kind of portrayed as like the sweet, innocent, caring friend, which I'm not saying she isn't. I'm just saying that she does have some selfishness in her, but the show hasn't really dived into that right now. So right now, the show kind of like pushes you to side with Willow over Anya, because Anya is the one who's made mistakes and she's not one of the Scoobies and all that. But I feel like when you watch this episode with hindsight, you're a lot more inclined to side with Anya because, you know, you see that Willow doesn't always make the best decisions. And I mean, obviously, neither does Anya. But I do think that Anya had a lot of validity in what she's saying to Willow in this episode.
Now, I just read ahead in the notes and I'm confused because it says Willow foreshadows Amy becoming evil and says she made Amy smart. I don't remember her mentioning Amy at all in this conversation. Do you, Leah? I don't really remember.
I remember them talking about Amy, but I don't really remember.
I'll send you guys the line. There's a line in the episode. It's like a throwaway one where Willow mentions
it. Can we phone a friend?
Yeah, here you go. I sent it to you guys.
I'll do a dramatic reading. Willow. Powerful stuff. I tried to use it to de-rat Amy, and it didn't work. But I think it might have made her really smart because she's giving me these looks like she's planning something, rubbing her little paws together. Oh yeah, poor Amy. Anya has noticed them now and hurries over. And scene.
I swear that never happened in the episode. I do not remember her mentioning this at all.
Well, like Sarah mentions in the notes, we also see that Tara kind of, this is the first time we've kind of seen Tara kind of be visibly uncomfortable with how far Willow was taking something.
And she removes herself from the situation, which I appreciate.
Yeah, which, I mean, period, boundaries. That's what we like to see, you know, fight or flight, cheap flight. It's just interesting to see that kind of disconnect because up until now, we've really only seen Tara back Willow. So it's interesting to start to see that because, I mean, obviously we know in season 6 that there's huge changes that happens in their relationship.
Olaf accurately predicts that Anya and Xander won't last.
I wish you guys could see the notes because it's me and Tommy literally just like paraphrasing what Sarah said. No one is going to listen to this episode. Sarah should just take a screenshot of her notes and put it on the Instagram. Honestly, I feel like that would be more profitable. Spike, we've got chicken wings too. Also, a sort of flower-shaped thing they make from an onion. Brilliant. He tells Andrew about this in empty places when they're riding the motorcycle and tells him not to
tell
anyone.
Where are you reading from, Leah? You skipped like 7,000 lines.
We see that Anya is scared. Good. I'm trying.
You just went straight in. We weren't even finished talking. Say that again.
Okay. We see Anya desires to be prepared if Xander decides to leave her, which we know he does because he's a big fat crybaby in season 6. I actually hate that episode. Fun fact. It triggers my marriage issues.
Yeah, I know, for real. And also really the dresses are hideous.
Yeah, that's really what's more triggering in that episode.
And like the coloring of the episode, you know, they do this on purpose. They make it like gray and like, actually it's not gray. It's like beige. The whole episode is like a weird beige-ish yellow. And it's really like unnerving. I hate it.
We have the conversation between Giles and Joyce about the Watchers
Counselor. Soft launched the next episode.
Watchers Council. What is the wording there?
The Watchers Council.
Right? It kind of sounded weird to me.
Is that right, Sarah?
I have a speech impediment. No, make fun of me. Okay.
And I've had like a total of 8 hours the past 2 days. So I'm tired of sleep. Was that not obvious?
That's a normal night's sleep.
The past 2 days. Did you not hear me?
Well, did you take a nap?
No. I work 12-hour shifts.
You don't get a lunch?
Leah.
Yeah, gotcha. gotcha. Like I was saying, with the Watchers Council, we find out that in the next episode that they purposely are trying to use Glory to gain control over Buffy. They're not like using her, but they're kind of allowing her, which is stupid because like, what the frick are they going to do? But they are allowing her and withholding information from the Scoobies because they desire to ultimately have Buffy die because they want a new Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
And both of the ones that they have right now are just not under their control. So,
well, I mean, Faith is in prison, so they're like, she is useless. And then Buffy is like proven that she doesn't need them for years now. So what's the point, you know?
I don't really understand this last point. If I'm being honest. I don't really get it.
Oh, Buffy. Okay, Sarah says that Buffy.
Bro, if we were turning a paper in, we would get flagged for plagiarism so quick. I can't even find a way to write this in my own words.
I said Sarah says. Okay. Sarah says to talk about how Buffy saw Xander and Anya as a very normal relationship in this episode, kind of like she's projecting onto them her failed relationship with Riley. So every time that either Olaf or Tara talks about like them possibly breaking up, she breaks down because she's like, no, like they're like my hope, like I want them to work out. Like it's like she's trying to mourn, but then also having a hard time putting herself out of the situation. And I feel like even Xander's and Anya's arguments this episode are very like normal, nitpicky, kind of petty arguments. And they really could have had a little bit more of like supernatural issues between the two or any like couple in this episode, but I feel like this was like all very petty. I don't want to say like average, because I feel like having the specific type of like pettiness with like Willow and Anya is very average, but it is a very normal argument between a couple.
I was mostly referring to the fact that in Hell's Bells, Buffy talks to both Anya and Xander and says that they're her hope for having a normal relationship.
Oh,
and then I say that at the very end of that.
That's
thing.
What I was trying to lead to, but Leah wasn't giving me anything to go off of.
I wasn't understanding. I was confused.
So Buffy very much projects her desire of a normal relationship and or mourning her normal relationship with Riley onto Xander and Anya's relationship in this episode. Hence why she keeps breaking down every time someone mentions that they like might be breaking up. She very much is going through a mourning of what she thought would be probably her long haul boyfriend, someone who is normal, a normal Joe, all that sort of stuff.
Well, and even in general, not just in this episode, like we see that in Hell's Bells, like what Sarah was saying, where it's like, I think
Sarah
Buffy
was writing.
Just, yeah. Well, but it's just like, I think Buffy, very much like a lot of other people, when your failed romantic relationships aren't working out, you kind of look to real life examples to be like, what, you know, is love actually still real? And then it's like, if you have a couple that you're like, this is what I'd want my relationship to look like, or this is what, and a lot of people, that's like their parents. And some people, their parents, you know, they split up later in life or whatever. And then they break up, and it's like, you kind of go through the stage of like, okay, but if their love didn't work, is real love even, does it exist? And, but it's also such a human and adult thing to go through of realizing like, oh, like my definition of love cannot really be based on someone else's relationship, because ultimately what I have will never look like someone else's. It will look like mine. And it's interesting seeing Buffy go through that. I mean, we really see Buffy go through every type of love. We see her go through the first love, the deep, intimate, everything. And then you have her like casually date a few times. And then you have the second serious college boyfriend. And then
the one outside of her type relationship. That's what I would call Riley. The one person where like the other ones haven't really worked out. Let me try something that's so out of what I normally go for.
Or it's more of like the reliable one. Like the guy you date because you've been friends for so long and they've always been there. And so you just kind of owe it to yourself to try. Like that's what Riley always gave me, was like, he's the logical choice. So you go for him, which a lot of people make that mistake. I made that mistake. It's such a human mistake to make, is like, when you logically think someone is the right choice, you go for them thinking that your heart will agree. And then you have the really toxic, passionate but toxic couple that usually comes after that very like innocent, kind of boring relationship, because you think that the opposite of that is passion, but it's mainly just toxic. And then of course you have her happy ending, which is Angel coming back. But it's super interesting to see Buffy go through different relationships in such a human way. And I love seeing her mourn her relationship with Riley. And I love seeing
more than the actual relationship. It brings out more of Buffy in this episode than she did in the
like
relationship.
It's her only breakup. And I think I talked about that in the non-spoiler section, where it's like, this is the only time we really see Buffy mourn a breakup. With Angel, it was like she was mourning a person. Because
it was also
he died and then he left.
Her and Faith, like the same an episode afterwards, have their whole like fight, and then it goes straight into graduation.
Much. Yes. And it was also like her mourning her childhood because she's graduating high school. Like there's so much more than just Angel in that. And then Spike and her was just like purely sex. And so it's just like, this is really the only real relationship we see her mourn in a normal way. And I honestly feel like a part of Buffy's innocence really goes away when Riley leaves, because, and I mean, we've said that so many times, but I feel like season 5 really chips away at Buffy's innocence. And I think that a lot of people would argue that it's season 6. But I would argue that by season 6, Buffy doesn't feel like she has much innocence left, which innocence is such a stupid concept when you think about it. Like, it's hard to pin down. But, like, Buffy loses her mom, which her mom is such a representation of innocence, regardless of what type of mom you have. It's just, like, that, you know, mother-to-daughter connection. And then she loses,
well, and
like,
with that, you have this reality of life that's only really present when you have to be the one to take care of someone else and pay the bills and work a job that really kind of benefits everyone, you know?
Yeah. Season 5 is really Buffy saying goodbye to childhood. And I mean, we've talked about that so many times.
But it really is the season of Barbie, though. Like, that's what it is. Yeah. It's like girlhood to womanhood, you know? On a lighter note, we have, I don't quite remember what it is, but I remember the moment, but it is a foreshadowing to Spike mentioning the same thing twice. So in this episode, he mentions like chicken wings and then a flower shaped thing they make from an onion. And he also mentions that again to Andrew on the back of a motorcycle in season 7. I remember that moment, but I did not realize that he mentioned it first in this episode. Joyce also mentions the Watchers again in this episode and mentions them way back in England and how like they don't do anything. And again, they're just soft launching for the next episode. They're like, hey guys, in case you forgot, there is a Watchers Council in England, so that we're not like, huh? Like the next episode. Because it's been like, what, 2 seasons since we've seen them? Almost exactly 2 seasons, actually.
Yeah.
Because Helpless was like episode like 11 or 12.
But I think it also goes to show what kind of a low place they're in if they are reaching out to the Watchers Council. Like, they really are desperate to know anything about Glory. Mm-hmm. It's also like, how the frick do the Watchers Council know anything about Glory? Like, it actually doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, she kind of came in. Oh, you're saying like facts or the fact that she's in Sunnydale?
No. I'm saying, how does the Watchers Council know anything about Glory? Because Glory is supposed to be untouchable to humans. So it doesn't really even freaking make sense.
I forget that they're the ones who tell Buffy what she is. It's probably the only thing they have like above Buffy's head. They're like, we're really going to milk this to show she knows nothing about the world.
Well, I think we kind of nailed it.
We're not done, Leah.
Good.
There's like 2 full points left. So Sarah put down a good correlation in her notes about how Xander is kind of put in an impossible situation between choosing his girlfriend or his best friend, which is a similar correlation to Sophie's choice, which I have not seen. Thank you for not putting spoilers in the notes, Sarah. About choosing between 2 impossible scenarios and then refusing to choose. And this foreshadows Buffy's choice in The Gift. It's like, hey, like, do I save the world or do I kill my sister? In which case, it's like she kind of had a loophole. But in that case, she still had to choose herself to die. So a bit rough, but at least she averted everyone's expectations.
Leah, if you
zoned out. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. I don't even think I can add to that because that is just so
you for well not listening.
And I just don't even think that I could do it justice if I added on to that. And
Leah, shut up. I can't with you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode.
That's what we know that you guys will definitely be requesting this combo again.
Let us know your thoughts. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok.
I can't even imagine why Sarah would ever complain about ever doing anything. I mean, clearly, we can do it so well without her.
Let me finish the segment.
Like us on TikTok.
You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Tumblr. We're on Tumblr?
Are we on Reddit? I looked for us on Reddit one time and we weren't there.
I'm on Reddit as a like
ghost
account.
Nice.
Not a ghost
what people
account.
Say about us.
Yeah.
Sarah's like, it's not
guys,
good
so
there.
So watch what you say about us because Sarah's ghosting on you all on Reddit, okay? She knows what you said.
What do you think, Leah?
I think we nailed it. I think we smashed it.
I think we were really articulate. See? This episode.
I think we really articulated that really well. And
I think I read it off really well. Thank you, Sarah, for writing down the notes.
You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Tumblr at Becoming Buffy Podcast, and you can email us at becomingbuffypodcast@gmail.com. A special shout out and thank you to our producers, Christine, CJ, Kate, Omri, Paul, and Cashan. Thank you so much to all of our listeners, and we will talk to you all next time.